We're in 2 Corinthians on Wednesday nights, and the sermons are going to follow the lessons. And so those of you that are here every week, just go ahead and mark, put something in 2 Corinthians, because we'll be there for several months. The way that'll work out. It's always a good thing. So have you heard about these new supermarket models, this full experience that they're giving? Now, I know Sprouts has one. Sprouts has the one where if you're there, they have the misters for the produce section, and I'm sure you've seen it, but I love the fact that right before it comes on, they have thunder, you know, the sounds of thunder, you know, and then you're like, oh, and then they try and put the smell of new rain, so you're getting the smell and you're getting the sound, and you want to buy produce as a result. Some of these supermarkets are really amazing because they have in the egg section, they have the sound of chickens cackling, as you go buy your eggs, and you smell bacon and eggs, and you're like, oh yeah, get you some eggs. And you go to the milk section, right, and they hear a mooing cow and the smell of hay just being cut, so you're getting this whole experience, right? Now, I would recommend this, though. Do not buy toilet paper from these places. Don't want to go down the toilet paper aisle. It's not a good thing, all right? No smells, not anything. Smells. We talked a little bit about this on Wednesday nights, but they say, the experts tell us that a single smell can bring up a memory that you haven't had in decades. A smell can bring up a moment where you remembered a certain person, or maybe you remembered a certain event. It's quite amazing. I read an article about biometrics, and I don't know if you know anything about biometrics. It's just a way that they're doing all of these things now to help us identify people besides doing a password, right? So biometrics, a fingerprint, right? You put a fingerprint on, and it recognizes your individual signature fingerprint, and it is a way of safety. They're doing retina scans. They're doing voice biometrics, and believe it or not, and I have to look this part up, Polytechnical University of Madrid is doing biometrics by your own personal smell. Right? So, good or bad at times, but you know that you have a unique smell. And it's interesting because in this particular study, they used a bloodhound, and they used the ability of a bloodhound to distinguish smells over others. And so they created, I'm not making this up, they made an artificial nose, essentially, that smells you and can identify you by your smell. And here's what's even more amazing, is you could cover up your smell with lotion, or spray on cologne or perfume, or even beyond some medicines. Sometimes we might be taking an antibiotic or something, and it kind of changes, our odor, so to speak. And they say that it can still read through those things. The difficulty is it's got a 10% failure rate, so it's not on the market yet. So they got to fix the smelling artificial nose. But it's interesting to me that smell is part of biometrics. Our signature smell is important. And I haven't done this in a while. I used to sell shoes for Senec Shoes. We were the lease department at Dillard's. And so when I was in college, I made my first couple years through college paying my way selling ladies' shoes and men's shoes, but mostly ladies' shoes. I like to be in the ladies' department, right? Now, I would probably make more money now, especially since JR buys more shoes probably than Kristen. But just saying, and Hunter would be in the same boat. But back in the day when I sold them, women bought a lot more shoes than men. But I would go by the cologne aisle, and they would have these different colognes, and I'd put a little sprit on there. And then for some reason no women attacked me, so I figured that was not the right scent and never did find that. But anyway, I would go by and I would see two or three of the girls, and I'd go, "What do you think of this one?" And they go, "Oh, that smells acidy," or no, that's not good for you. That's not your smell. And I didn't realize that you had to find, the right smell. And so Karen found the right smell for me. She loves it, I think, more than I do. So I wear this stuff called Domain. Apparently it goes good with my body odor smell, right? It smells good with whatever that is. But this idea of signature smell, some of these perfumes and colognes are named after famous people, and it's their smell, right? It smells good for them, may not smell so much good for you. But believe it or not, there is a signature smell that comes from Scripture. God is the one who designed a signature smell way back in Exodus chapter 30. It's crazy but true. But if you look at Exodus 30, it starts out and it tells us tells the Israelites how to build this altar of incense. It talks about this special oil they were to use for anointing. And then he gave this recipe, so to speak, for this particular incense. It involves gum resin, and Karen's not in here, but frankincense. She loves the smell of frankincense. It's in our house constantly. But look at chapter 30, verses 35 through 38, okay? And I'll make sense of this. And make a fragrant blend of incense. This is what God is saying, all right, to the Israelites. The work of a perfumer. It is to be salted. It's to be pure. It's to be sacred. Grind some of it to powder and place it in front of the Ark of the Covenant Law in the Tent of Meeting, where I will meet with you. It shall be most holy to you. I love that. So it's going to be holy to you. Why? I don't want you to make any incense with this formula for yourselves. I want you to consider it holy to the Lord. Whoever makes incense like it to enjoy its fragrance must be cut off from their people. So God says, hey, look, when you smell this smell, I want you to think about me. I don't want you taking it home. I don't want you having your own domain. I don't want you to have your own Aramis. I don't want you to have your own smell. I want you to know that this is my smell. This represents me. This represents the tabernacle. This represents the altar, right? And so it was a smell that the Israelites would have recognized. When they smelt that smell, it would make them think of God. Now, what's interesting is when we move into the New Testament, the concept hasn't changed, but there's a twist. It's an interesting twist, because now the smell that makes people think about God is us. He transfers this idea of this incense to us as His people, so that when people smell our aroma, it makes them think about God. It's interesting to me. I think it's pretty special. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Now, I had the advantage of getting to teach 2 Corinthians chapter 2 this past Wednesday. And so I got to verse 14 and talked about it, but then I didn't talk much about 15 and 16, although I kind of gave you a little commercial for this Sunday. But look at verse 14. Thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession, and I would explain that more, but you should have been here Wednesday, and uses us, right, and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are an aroma that brings death. To the other, an aroma that brings life. And who's equal to such a task? Are you equal? Are you ready for the task? Do you realize that our smell is extremely important to the world? And I'm not talking about a physical smell. We are to God a pleasing aroma. I asked the question Wednesday night before we left, and I'll ask you this morning. What do people think about God? What do people think about God as a result of being around me? That is a probing, deep question. I mean, when I'm around someone, when you're around someone, what do they think about God as a professing Christian, as someone who says, hey, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in God. I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me. What do they think about God as a result of living around me? You know, last week we talked about this word comfort, right? The Greek word comfort is this word that says, I'm going to call you to be beside me. I'm going to call you to be right next to me, to have comfort, right? It's this word would mean that God is next to us. The Holy Spirit is within us, but next to us. That God is going to be with us always in comforting us. Well, this week I want to talk about this Greek word osme, because it gives us some really cool concepts. But it's this word aroma, this word fragrance. It literally means smell or an odor. It's used only 7 times in 5 verses, including here in 2 Corinthians. But I want to look at all 5 of them. Okay, so look at John chapter 12, verse 3, just to give you an idea of the word osme. Mary, if you remember this story, took about a pint of pure nard. It was an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the osme, right? The fragrance of the perfume. So in this particular context, it's literally spray, smell, osme, right? And then go back to 2 Corinthians 2, and I've underlined where the word osme is used, right? Thanks be to God, aroma, 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 aroma. This smell, right? It's used more figuratively here, but it still represents bringing into our nostrils a certain smell. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, and I'm going to start in verse 1, but it's used in verse 2. He says here, Paul, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, walk in a way of love, just as Christ loved us, gave himself up for us as a osme, right? A fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So like Jesus lived his life, gave his sacrifice to God, God smelt it. And it was this pleasing aroma to him, very similar to this incense that was in the temple that represented this time of worship and this time of reflection. Philippians chapter 4, verse 18. Slightly different context, but a really good way of looking at the word again. I've received full payment, this is Paul again, and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. The gifts you sent with the heart that went behind the giving, they are a fragrant, an osme offering, an acceptable sacrifice that's pleasing to God. So we look at this context of this word in the way it's used, and it simply is this idea that obedience is a sweet smelling fragrance to God. Our obedience to Him. Whatever we do for God, This obedience, this life that we live, it smells good to God. Listening to God's commands, living them out. Giving our resources, giving our time, telling about the love of God, showing others comfort, showing others compassion, living out the gospel every single day. They're attributes of Jesus, and Jesus smelt good to God. It was a fragrance. It was an offering. His life was to God the Father, and He expects the same for us. We use idioms, right? We use these idioms. Well, that left a bad taste in my mouth. You know, like, what, did you eat something? No, I mean, you know, maybe a situation occurred. Somebody treated me wrong. Well, that left a bad taste in my mouth. We use that as an idiom. Or we say, that's like music to my ears. And you were listening to music. Like, no, it's just, when I hear that, you know, that's like, oh, it's just a symphony that goes off in my head. Those are kind of idioms that we use. Paul is essentially saying godly living is perfume to God's nostrils. It's kind of more of an idiom than anything else, but it's like, that's just a sweet-smelling fragrance to God. When we do what we're supposed to do, God takes in the aroma and it's pleasing to Him. Jesus pleased God always. When I think of the word fragrance, I think of good smells. Right? I think of good things that come from that. When I think of this word fragrance, right? Flowers, I said it a while ago, freshly mown grass or hay. This is weird growing up in West Texas, but I used to love rolling my window down when I'd pass by a field that just got plowed. And you just smell that fresh soil. And some people think that's kind of weird. Karen's the same way. I guess that's why we got married. Because we were all into this freshly, you know, plowed field. But bacon. Man, you say the word bacon and people, oh. You know, you get that smell of bacon and you're like, oh, that is a good smell. Blueberry muffins is one of my favorite smells in the whole wide world. Because my mom, on Saturday mornings, would make blueberry muffins. Every Saturday morning, that was pretty much a routine in our household. And I would wake up early, you know, to go watch cartoons, you know, because that was pretty much the only time you had cartoons, was on Saturday morning. I'd get up early. I couldn't wait. And even in my college years, I'd get up and watch cartoons. No, yeah, I did. And so I would go, but my mom, all the way through until I left the house, she would make blueberry muffins. She'd slice them down the middle. She'd put a big old slab of butter on the inside of it, and I love blueberry muffins. That smell, to this day, brings back incredible memories. Sorry. Talked to my mom this week. She's got Alzheimer's. So I'll pass on that one. Okay, sorry. Wow. That hit me weird. Cakes. Pies. Right? The smell of smoked meat. Those are some smells that I love, right? Those are smells that I love. And it's funny how it worked out this morning that we have dinner, right? We have lunch being prepared, but I'm not smelling a lot of smells right yet. You know, I was kind of thinking, you know, it would be a whole lot easier preaching this lesson. As I practiced this week, I kept trying to think of, okay, what smell would be coming through the door, but I'm not smelling a whole lot. But it's hard for us at times when we smell certain things, because it enacts negative memories. Sometimes they're good and sometimes they're bad. I mean, when I think of this word pleasant smell, fragrance, that's good. But when I think of the word stink, or I think of the word stench, I don't think of good things. I think of driving down 91st, back kind of where you know what I'm talking about. I can't even think between which places. There's the neighborhood there, but for some reason there's like an open sewer smell like there. And every time I pass by there, it's like it's close to you guys' house. I mean, if you go down 91st toward our house, you can smell it. And I'm like, ah, that's not a good smell. And I think of other things like an open sewer or a pig pen or garbage truck or maybe a decaying animal on the road, you know, and I say, ugh, you know, that's not a good smell. I was going to say skunk, but Curry will pass a skunk, go, oh, that smells good. And Karen will pass a skunk, go, that smells good. And I just want to boot him out the car because it doesn't smell good to me. So I didn't say anything about a skunk. But think of it this way. There are some words that describe two different things. When I say, well, that smell, it can be a good smell or it could be a bad smell. Fragrance is good in the fact that it's a descriptive word, and stench is a descriptive word too, but it gives a negative connotation. One's good while the other's not. When I think about God, and when I think about Jesus, and when I think about the Holy Spirit, all I have is good thoughts. I don't know how you guys are. When I think of His grace, or I think of His mercy, when I think about my relationship, I have good thoughts. I have, for the sake of keeping it with this idea, I have pleasant smells, pleasant aromas. I have good thoughts about God. Peace and contentment and hope. But for some, when they think about God, or they think about church, or they think about church family, they don't have such good memories. Different things come to their mind. For some people, they think about judgment, or they think about pain, or it evokes some negative connotations of a place they grew up where they were maybe not accepted the way they should. And that hurts my heart. To think of how many folks I talk to, and I say, hey, you need to come to Open Door. And like, yeah, we've done the church thing, man. We're done with that. And I'm like, really? I was like, no, this is a different place. Yeah, I've heard that before too. No, it's supposed to be a place where we do life together, the good, the bad, and yet the comfort, right? The standing next to one another and the hugging and the understanding of each other's hurts and pains, and then working those things out so that we are encouraging one another, so that the thoughts and the memories are all good ones and not bad ones. 2 Corinthians 2 says, for we are to God, going back to the same passage, we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing, but to the one we're an aroma that brings death. Isn't that interesting? That aroma of us can also bring about not such a great feeling for some people. The things that we say to some is life, but for others, it's death. And that's worrisome. For those who reject Jesus, the same gospel message is unpleasant when it's pleasant to us. I mean, that same message for some people is not such a good message. I said this Wednesday night, but one person's heart is hardened by the gospel, while another person's heart is softened by the gospel. Interesting, isn't it? That the same gospel can produce different results. I love this idea of being immersed into Christ. You don't hear me say the word baptism very often. I like the word immersed better, and the reason for that is baptism was a word we made up, right? It's the Greek word baptizo, and we came up with this word baptism, but the word baptizo means to be immersed, and I think the word is a better word, because when I say, boy, I'm immersed into my work, or man, I'm immersed into this bowling, or I'm immersed into paintball, or if I'm immersed into, you know, the military, whatever I'm immersed into, it creates this bigger, stronger, more powerful word than just being baptized. And I think sometimes when we say baptism, we forget that all that goes with being immersed into Christ. Because there's a repentance that takes place and a confession that takes place and a faith that really trusts in God that takes place. It's not just about being dunked in water. It's about being immersed. But I love the idea that it says washed in the blood to be cleansed of our sins. Because we all know that there's times when we need to be cleansed and we need to be washed, and yet we don't take the shower. We don't take the bath. I mean, I may be the only one that does this. Now, I've been around Bobby too much to know this. Okay? We're sweaty and smelly, and I don't have time to take a shower. Maybe I don't want to take a shower. So you know what I do? Right? I get the right guard out, and not only is it, I mean, it's the, you know, I'll cover it up and then grab the cologne and go, right? The stench is still there, but I cover it up with the smell. And I say that to say, I see sometimes in people's life where they don't immerse themselves into God. They don't immerse themselves into Christ. And then I see a result Monday through Saturday of those who make a claim. And I'm not talking about folks in this room so much as I'm talking about those who say, well, I'm a Christian. And I'm like, wow, you don't smell like one. And they think that's weird when I say that. Because, see, the stench is still there. But so on Sunday morning, they just cover it up, right? On Sunday, they wear the right clothes, they say the right things, they go to the right place, they do the right thing, and they show up, but there's still some stench going on. But they just spray and cover it all up. And then Monday through Saturday, they live a different life. And that's not immersion. That's not being committed to what God is asking us to do. The way others see us Monday through Saturday is a key to our good aroma. The way that we respond to situations, the way that we treat others, the way that we live out our life when it comes to controversy, that's the sweet aroma that's talked about here in Scripture. For God to be glorified, we need to be a pleasant aroma to the world. As Christians, we need to leave a good scent behind. Right? It has to be a good scent. And we're the aroma of Christ, so we're the instruments or vessels dispensing the knowledge of God. And I want to say this exactly right, but some are going to hate our smell. Okay, some are going to hate our smell. But I want to say it like this, that let them hate our fragrance and not our stench. Okay, does that make sense? Let them hate our fragrance. Because some people are going to hate us because we stand for right and we do the right thing. And sometimes we'll say, God says that's wrong. And they're like, who are you to judge me? I'm not anyone to judge. Say I'm judging you, but I'm just telling you what God says. Out of the love that I have for you, I'm going to tell you what God says. That's the fragrance of Christ. It's not the stench. See, a stench is when we say we're going to do the right things and we're going to live our lives a certain way and we don't do it. And that becomes a stench to the world. And that's where I hear these folks say, well, yeah, you let me tell you something. I mean, Karen's not in here. I remember her dad one time got ripped off, you know, did a job for a preacher, and then he did a job for one of the deacons of the church, and they never paid him. You know, he's a non-Christian, but he's like, see, that's why I'm not a Christian. They're just the same way as mine. He goes, I have never had done a job for somebody and them not pay me, but here's this preacher guy that says he's a man of God, and I do a job, and he didn't pay me. He goes, I don't need that in my life. And so that was a stench to Dwayne's nostril. Took him years to get past that and finally become a Christian. And I love the fact that he did, you know, and we got to spend that time together. But we've got to be so careful, you know, that our smell is a fragrance. And if they hate us because of our fragrance, so be it. Scripture says they are. But if they hate us because of our stench, we have a problem. We need to fix that. That's why I want to end with Peter's words. 1 Peter 2, I appreciate Terry reading this for us. But notice what he says. It's the same thing with different terminology. It's kind of this mentality, but he says it in different ways. Peter says, "Now to you who believe, this stone," talking about Jesus Christ, "this stone is precious," right? It's a precious stone to those who believe. "But to those who don't believe, the stone the builders rejected has become a cornerstone. It's a stone that causes people to stumble. It's a rock that makes them fall." They stumble because they disobey the message. Right? They don't want anything to do with the stone, because it's not good for them. It's also what they were destined for, because all who disobey are going to stumble. But he says, you, on the other hand, you guys, and he doesn't say it quite the same way, you're a pleasant fragrance, right? You're a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're God's special possession, that you may declare, and this is the part that I want us to get, you may declare the praises of him. And you can do that with words or without words, but you're going to do it with your smell. You declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. It's exactly what he says. You're the light of the world. A light on a hill cannot, you know, you can't hide a light. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. You don't put it under a bushel, but on a stand. But he says, let your light so shine. Why? So that people can see your good works, smell your fragrance, and give glory to God. Because they know you belong to him. That's where it differentiates. We were called to declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. So again, what do people think about God as a result of being around me? I pray that it's a sweet-smelling fragrance. So let's smell good this week. Right? And if we hadn't smelled good in the past, let's smell good from now on. Take the bath, take the shower, quit spraying the stuff on the outside, and be changed from the inside, because that's what it truly means to be immersed. If you're struggling with anything this morning, we want to help you. We're here to love each other, right? In the good and the bad, to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, all the more as we see the day drawing near. It's so very important. But we want to be here. If you need prayers or anything from this body, please come while we stand, while we sing.
Some glad morning when this life is there, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore.